Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, January 11th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an eMarketer podcast. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. On today's episode, we are discussing how the 2022 holiday season went and what to look out for during earnings season. Joining me for today's episode, we have Principal Analyst Andrew Lipsman. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Sarah.
And also with us is Principal Analyst Susie David Canyon. Hey, Susie.
Hey, Sarah.
Thanks for joining me. We're going to get started with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's story is a January 4th New York Times article titled, Amazon Expands Corporate Layoffs to 18,000 Jobs. Amazon is cutting about 6% of its workforce, largely from human resources and from retail. CEO Andy Jassy said that the company aims to be inventive, resourceful, and scrappy as it cuts back. Susie, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
It's very jarring. It's definitely not the way we wanted to start the new year, especially in retail. I think when the one of the biggest retailers across the world is having issues, it can send folks down a different path. I think it's kind of, you know, a little bit to be expected, maybe not quite in the same scale. We were already talking about this before. They overhired, they're right-sizing, they don't have the ability from a margin perspective to sort of carry the wave of some of the tech areas that are not performing quite as strongly. So it's definitely about right-sizing. I just couldn't imagine it being this many people. But to put it in perspective, it is in line with what many other companies are doing, which is around that 6% mark.
Yeah, 18,000 sounds like a lot, but not a huge percentage overall. Andrew, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that a lot of the cuts are coming from the retail division, which has been struggling with profitability. You would not have expected that to happen in the heat of the holiday season. So it makes sense that it's happening post-holiday season. For me, the more jarring piece, we knew there was going to be a big layoff. Amazon has a massive workforce, so the numbers were going to be big, but it had been expected to be about 10,000, and it's significantly more than that. So the question that this leaves for me is that a function of the holiday season going worse for Amazon than expected? That's certainly a possibility that might lead to even deeper cuts, particularly in the retail division. In the grand scheme of things, you know, we've seen this across a lot of tech, and that number of about 6% of the workforce is pretty standard and less than some of them that have been cutting well north of 10%.
Sure. Well, speaking of the holidays, you're teeing us up for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is how the 2022 holiday season went. So according to MasterCard Spending Pulse data, overall holiday retail sales increased by 7.6% during November 1st to Christmas Eve. Does that make the holiday season a success? Andrew, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, well, it's all relative. So in some sense, in any normal year, right, 7.6% would be a huge, massive growth. It's a big number, but we have to look at it in the context of inflation, which is right around that same percentage. So it grew primarily due to the forces of inflation. I'd still say in some sense that's a win, given some of the doom and gloom going into the holiday season. There was concern that things could be really bad. There is still consumer spending happening. You know, people are just getting less for their dollar. So it's not all great news, but it certainly wasn't bad.
I agree. I think that, you know, inflation peaked in the summer and it's starting to go down, but the mixed headlines are so hard for consumers to make decisions against. We know that savings rates are going down. People don't have as much money as they once did last year. So that small inching growth, because inflation is at 7.1, seems to fare well. I did check the Great Recession numbers in 2008. It was the worst decade, according to MasterCard Spending Pulse data, down 2.3. So if you think about that, up 7.6, I know it wasn't quite the exact same sort of frame, but still, when recession is in everybody's vocabulary and on every headline, to see that 7.6 growth during inflationary period is, I think, pretty much a win.
That's a great point. E-commerce specifically grew more than overall retail did. That's according to MasterCard Spending Pulse data as well, which says e-commerce sales grew by about 11% over last year's holiday season. Our own forecast predicted e-commerce spending would increase by 12%. How did we do?
Shout out to the forecasting team. The numbers actually, both overall and by channel, at least according to MasterCard, were in pretty clear alignment, 12% versus about 10.6% for MasterCard on e-commerce. So we got that right in the sense that there would be double-digit growth in e-commerce. Overall, I think we said 7% and it was 7.6%. And then I think the offline numbers, brick and mortar, were also pretty close at around 6%. So across the board, good job forecasting team.
So a question going off of that, Adobe also just reported their e-commerce numbers. They reported 3.5% growth, which was ahead of their expectations, but obviously a lot lower than that 12 or 11%. What's the discrepancy there?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to see some variance between different sources. We saw some of these differences also manifest in the forecast for the holiday season. So other forecasts were for e-commerce more in the double-digit range. Adobe, I think, was about 2.5%. So as you noted, it was a bit ahead of forecast at 3.5%. I think we have to look at all the data that's out there and reconcile that in our thinking. I'll say the silver lining, despite that lower overall reporting that they had, is that it was a full percentage point ahead of their forecast.
So getting into some things we discussed ahead of the holiday season, last year we predicted an earlier and longer holiday season pulled forward by an October Amazon Prime Day event and by consumers' desire to save during heightened inflation. This November, retail sales were down by about 0.5 percentage point from October, but they were still up by about 6.5% year over year, according to U.S. Census Bureau data. Do lower sales in November than October, but higher sales year over year mean that we were right about that longer holiday season, Susie?
So I don't know that I would think about it in that exact way, looking at month to month, because October, November, December have so much seasonality against them that it's not really fair to compare the month to month. But what I would say is when I looked at the October Spending Pulse data, it was up 9.5 to last year. It's not typically part of the holiday season. It was stronger than November sales, which were up 8.1. December sales aren't out yet. So by all intents, from those data points, you could say that yes, the holiday has been pulled forward. It was heightened inflation concerns, but also people trying to spread out their budgets, people worried about and, you know, having this hoarding mentality and worried about stockouts. Although there were a lot of headlines around inventory, like extra glut of inventory, still, I think people were trained to think about like, oh, if I see something, I should buy it before it runs out. And so coupled with, as you said, the Amazon Prime Day, which all the retailers rally against and then do their own like other sort of Prime-like events to try and steal market share, I think all of that really pushed the numbers into October, which is why we netted out with probably a stronger holiday season than maybe some of the headlines would have thought.
Yep, I agree completely with Susie is saying. And just to add to that, I try my best to ignore sequential changes from month to month. I always like to look at the year-over-year numbers. That said, October being higher than November is kind of interesting, right? You'd think November is a holiday month. So I think a big driver of that was the fact that we had this promotional period around the Prime Early Access sale in October. That said, let's look at the year-over-year numbers month by month. Susie mentioned some of them from MasterCard. I was looking at the Department of Commerce data. They showed 7.5% year-over-year growth in October, and then that decelerated to 6.5% in November. So there is a slowdown that certainly happened in November in relative terms. So yeah, that's evidence that October was hot, November not. But you know, on balance, people still spent enough over the course of that 3-month holidays. I guess we should maybe even start calling it a 3-month holiday season, because right in the past, it's only been November or December. I think the reality, especially if we have Prime Days in October going forward, is we're going to have to start thinking about all of Q4 as the holiday season.
Absolutely. I mean, when I first started, we would think about holidays from Black Friday, and then it became Cyber Week, and then now it's like moved into October. I do think one of the other points about what happened this season, which is interesting in my, for me at least, it's that As we all know, online continues to grow, usually at a faster clip than stores. There were some months that traded off with stores growing a little bit faster than online. But overall, it looks like online penetration increased to last year, which is a pretty big deal. And I think we all know this, but it's worth mentioning that online penetration is higher during the holiday season than during the typical year, as people buy a lot of gifts online, have them sent directly to the receiver, or have them sent to their house instead of tackling them all.
So I'm going to ask you a question offhand here. If you're buying things online and having them sent directly to the receiver, is that behavior concentrated more toward December and the actual holidays when you want to give those gifts, or does that persist in October as well?
You're right. I think that's a last minute sort of, like, you're traveling, you're sending the gifts to your house instead of, like, your parental home instead of taking them with you in your carry-on, because now we know not to ever check a bag ever again. So I think it just depends on what time of the year. You're right, though. The gift giving, sending it to the house, it just depends on your circumstances. And we do know, even from the data, that Black Friday, obviously the biggest day, but then the four Saturdays in December were also very, very big days.
Makes sense. Okay, so as we might expect, not all categories saw the same sorts of success. Clothing sales increased by about 4%, but electronics saw a decrease by about 5%, and jewelry saw a decrease of about 5% as well. What do we make of spend varying across categories in this way?
I think a lot of the traditional holiday categories struggled a bit this year, both because of really difficult comps from last year. And in general, consumers are just shifting more of their spending in the direction of more essential goods, and then also back into services, including, you know, restaurants or eating out and travel. So budgets are shifting, and it was not to the benefit of those traditional holiday categories.
And I also think, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that apparel had strong sales. It's a very easy giftable, right? Athleisure, sweaters, it's like something easy to give. Jewelry, a little bit more complicated. Electronics, we've talked about this over and over again. Everybody bought every TV, computer, and every other home electronic under the sun during COVID. And so they don't really, that's not a replenishment type category. I did read that toys didn't do super well. And I wonder if that's just because there were so many promotions. So maybe from a unit perspective, it did well volume wise, but not from a dollar perspective.
Yeah. Adobe put out data that showed discounting, at least for e-commerce, by category. So if we assume this is broadly true across channels, toys had the heaviest discounting. And I think that was a lot of the early season spending that was happening, more concentrated in a category like that. But we also saw really big discounts to move product in consumer electronics. I mean, those were categories last year that they did, you know, usually they have to discount a fair amount in the holiday season. They discounted very little. And then this year, it was almost a complete reversal, very extreme discounting.
Well, and you know what? This is like a broader retail issue, but often retailers think about their last year numbers to plan the current year, right? And so if last year electronics boomed and they sold a ton of units, then their models are such that they're going to buy a ton of that for this year without really thinking through, is that something that people are going to buy every year? Or did we really sell to every household and now we need to move on to something new? One of the other numbers that caught my attention, because of course, why wouldn't it? The department store world. I was sad to see it only up 1%. I think that does not bode very well for the year to come for that channel, because holiday is their bread and butter. It is for every retailer, but especially for department stores that offer so many different types of giftables.
It really does seem like the last 3 years have each been so unique from the one before that it just makes it hard to take that behavior and forecast it to the year ahead. That said, I definitely think that both of you are right when you say that the longer holiday season is here to stay. All right, we are going to discuss what we can expect from these holiday season earnings after the break, but first, a quick message. Want a daily snapshot of Insider Intelligence's charts, news, and analysis on today's most disruptive industries? Subscribe to our Chart of the Day newsletter at insiderintelligence.com/COTD, or check out the link in our show notes. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. Today, Susie and Andrew are sharing their top items to look out for from Q4 earnings. Andrew, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting earnings season. I think we're going to see a pretty wide divergence across retailers. But one surprise that I think we might see on the better performers is some upside on the bottom line. I think that even though we saw growth in top line spending, we kind of knew that that was going to happen or had a good idea that would happen, but that everyone was going to be squeezed on the bottom line because costs across the board seemed to be going up. At the same time, the holiday season kicked off, we really started to hit new lows and even below points that had previously started to spike in terms of shipping container rates from China. Other supply chain costs, gas prices were down, which, you know, both reduces costs to retailers and puts extra money in consumers' pockets. So I think there was a little bit more breathing room for retailers than they may have anticipated going into the season. And I think that at least for the strong performers, we may see a little bit better bottom line performance than we had thought going into the season.
I hope so. I agree. A lot of the cost of goods that go into the product have been coming down, but I think there is a little bit of uncertainty still, and demand is starting to feel like it's waning. Even though there was that up 7.6, it feels like it's pretty in line with inflation rates. But I am a little bit worried about the promotion. Like, did we get to that 7.1 because everything was sold on sale, in which case that has a really big hit to the margin. And so then it'll be interesting to see how the different retailers net out. The ones who controlled their inventory, didn't order too far ahead so that they had the higher costs and didn't have to do the promotions, I think will, as you said, come out on top.
Yeah, I think we're in violent agreement on this one. And that's where we're going to see the discrepancies, the better performers. If you think about some of the strong brands, we've already seen some good performance out of like a Nike and a Lululemon. They don't have to discount as much, right? So that's where the companies that don't incur those costs and can not discount as heavily, we'll see the profits boom.
In terms of what Andrew just said about Lululemon and inventory, I think this is probably like the next thing that I'm going to be looking out for, which are inventory levels. And I had thought Lululemon was kind of suffering from having too much inventory, and that's why they got dinged in their last earnings. And when I went to the mall over the holiday break, I noticed that they had so many things on sale. Like, I have never seen so much on sale at Lululemon. And when I was trying to exchange a size, the person that was super helpful said, come back next week because more stuff is going to go on markdown, which as a retailer, you don't want your staff to say that, because if I was ready to buy the thing at full price and now you're telling me come back, I'm obviously going to come back and buy it at a discount. So for me, back to the question, I'm going to be looking at how well did retailers manage their inventory. I was shocked. I don't know why, shocked that some of the analyst firms are starting to downgrade retailers, including Target. I don't know if you guys saw that Wells Fargo had a downgrade on Target, citing that their traffic was low and inventory woes continue. And so I feel like this is something that, again, you can be as good as you want as planning and you can have the best models, but if you don't have a person behind it looking at it, then you might falter a little bit.
Okay, so far we have that we expect earnings season to be affected by a bottom line being maybe better than expected and by inventory woes. Andrew, what is another item to look out for during Q4 earnings?
I think that the underperformers out there, and there will always be underperformers, will once again blame the weather on their poor performance, right? It's always,
I do this every day.
It's always an act of God in the holiday quarter that prevented them from, they just missed that number because that last holiday weekend had a deep freeze or something like that. I get why they do it, and we will hear it once again. I don't think it reflects reality though.
I love it. And you know what it is? It's like, if it's too cold, then they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't have enough coats. We didn't realize we sold out of coats too early. So now we didn't have them to carry us through the holiday season. Weather cannot, this is what, like when you think about the models, not only the last 3 years were so different, so you can't model against that, but also the weather changes and it's not predictable. And that doesn't go into your inventory planning models or your promotion cadence, right? And so it is an easy out, but it is obviously not the right one.
As someone who got stuck in New York City this holiday season, I will definitely use the weather as my easy out for why I did not send gifts to many people.
But you could have used online, right? I feel like there are so many ways.
Don't tell the people that didn't get gifts that. All right. We have the weather. They're going to blame the weather, as happens every year.
I feel like we should bet on it. How many companies do you think are going to talk about? And they, by the way, they talk about it in a good way too. Like, the weather was so great in terms of us selling coats that are high margin. So I think it'll go both ways. And almost the question is, how many retailers will not talk about the weather? Like, that's the bigger question.
I don't know why you wouldn't. It's there to talk about.
It's a positive signal for retailers that don't talk about the weather. If I'm placing bets on likelihood of where we hear it, I'm kind of looking at the department store set. As you mentioned, Susie, the 1% growth, that's it's very easy, especially when you're heavily dependent on apparel, to look at the weather.
And mall-based, right?
And mall, yeah.
Yeah, because an older crowd that usually goes to see you and purchase from you, that's not maybe going to drive in a deep freeze to the mall and is maybe not going to be as online proficient as the retailer would like.
And, you know, potentially hitting that last big weekend, because yeah, I think that's when the deep freeze happened, really, yeah, was, what, December 22nd, 23rd, around there?
Whichever day I was supposed to fly. It's gone from my memory now. What is, Susie, another item to look out for during Q4 earnings season?
I mean, I think we talk about this all the time. There are lots of other things we're looking out for. We're looking out for returns and what that's going to do to the bottom line. One of the things that I'm really interested in seeing is how many retailers are going to talk about investments that they're making. So Nike just talked about making more investments to their mobile app, understanding that that's a connectivity tissue and that it's worth spending money on that to make sure that they fuel sales and brand loyalty. So I wonder who's going to be talking about spending. I mean, we're hearing a lot about cuts, but who's going to be talking about spending?
I like that. And I think it is one of the most underappreciated assets from retailers and a place that they probably should be spending a lot more. And also marketing their apps, right? It's like, literally do what you have to do to tell your consumers why they should download that app and get on their phone. So critical, because it's a huge component to stickiness for brands. And listen, if you're Amazon, you're on everyone's phone. If you're Walmart, you're on most people's phones. And then, you know, it's a battle for that attention and screen real estate, and yeah, not every retailer has it.
And I love that Nike is using third-party distribution partners like the Dick's of the world to tie their loyalty and membership programs together to drive even more people to their app.
And then we have Amazon investing in like TikTok-like feeds on their app, which is something that I've also seen from like Etsy and Depop. I'm really interested in what retailers are sort of social media-ifying their apps next year. Is that a word?
Yes, but I think it might be this year.
Oh.
I mean, obviously it's a word because I'm not an English major, but it might not be a real word.
This year, 2023, I wrote the wrong date on my podcast once again. That is all we have time for today. Thank you, Andrew, for joining me.
Thanks, Sarah.
And thank you, Susie.
Thanks so much.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast and, as far as I'm aware, had a very happy holiday season. We will be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an eMarketer podcast. And tomorrow, you can join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast.